Well, as many of you know, and as I mentioned, Pastor Tim is in California this weekend with family. The funeral for his brother-in-law, Dwayne, was yesterday. So please keep their whole family in your prayers as they continue to grieve his loss. Our sermon time this morning is going to look a little different than normal. I'm going to talk for just a short bit, and then I'm going to lead us through a spiritual practice called Lectio Divina, which some of you might be familiar with. And this will just be a different way for us to engage with God's Word, which is good for us to do every once in a while, good to kind of get us out of our normal rhythms. So we'll come to that in a little bit. But before I introduce that process to you, I have a confession for you this morning. As someone who studies the Bible as a big part of my job, sometimes I realize that I'm spending a lot of time learning about God and very little time actually being with God, actually knowing God in relationship. And while all the tools that I learned in seminary about the meanings of words and the context and the culture and the history and the literary devices being used, while all of that is very important to our understanding of the text, it does not always do the work of actually bringing us to a place of a relationship with God. It does a lot to increase the richness of our knowledge and our understanding of the text, but without an open posture of receiving God's voice and God's love into our lives through the text, it just isn't enough. Sometimes I treat God's word as something to be studied rather than letting God's word study me. And I think I do that because I'm in control that way, right? I don't have to actually listen and respond to what God might be asking me to do in response to what I'm studying. I can learn some interesting things and probably feel good about myself, but I keep God at an arm's length, and I do that instead of letting God's Spirit actually enter in and change me in a holistic way. Maybe you connect with this. I hope some of you do. Or maybe you tend toward the opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe it's much more natural for you to spend time devotionally in relationship with God than it is to dive into all the layers of meaning in Scripture. Both are crucial to our life with God's Word. So whichever way of reading is more natural for us, it just can't be the only thing that we do when we read God's Word. Study of the Bible has to be partnered with the kind of communion with God that allows God to enter in and to transform us. One without the other can turn into a spiritual dead end. So we're called to this knowledge and understanding of the text and an active relationship with Christ, who is the Word made flesh. And this kind of balanced reading is deeply rooted in the history of the Covenant Church. The German and Scandinavian pietists that led to the founding of our denomination understood the Bible to be an altar where one meets the living God. And I love that image of what Scripture is. The Bible leads us to encounters with Christ. It's not an end in itself, but it serves to bring us before the living God. Mark Patty, who's the pastor at Salem Covenant Church, and Chris Gertz, who's history professor at Bethel, recently published a book called The Pietist Option, and it's a really helpful reflection on our history and the hope that it offers for the future of the church. And I want to read a paragraph from their chapter about how we read and listen to God's Word. They write this: "Though it is everywhere present to us, many Christians are slow to present ourselves fully to the Scripture's powerful influence. Though the Bible is all around us, we are often slow to invite us to be alive within us. We are too often reluctant or too preoccupied to welcome God's Word into our hearts and minds to nourish and transform us, to teach, reprove, correct, and train us in the God-designed, God-inspired way of life." Philip Spener, who was the pioneer of the Pietist movement, wrote this: "The diligent use of the Word of God, which consists not only of listening to sermons, but also of reading, meditating, and discussion, must be the chief means for reforming something. The Word of God remains the seed from which all that is good in us must grow. If we succeed in getting the people to seek eagerly and diligently in the Book of Life for their joy, their spiritual life will be wonderfully strengthened, and they will become altogether different people." It's a beautiful description of what Scripture is meant to do in us, and yet it can seem sometimes out of our reach, out of our experience. Can we say that we are different people after we've interacted with Scripture? Are we seeking eagerly and diligently in the Word for our joy? For early covenanters, the two central questions that they talked about when they met in small groups together were, number one, where is it written? And number two, how goes your walk? They were people who diligently studied Scripture, and they were grounded in this daily walk of life, expecting God to meet them there and to change them, to transform them. And so, in the spirit of these early pietists, this morning we'll be engaging in a spiritual practice called Lectio Divina. Some of you might be familiar. It's Latin for divine reading. And it's a practice that is designed to help us to move beyond simply learning about God, to actually engaging in conversation with God. It creates space for the Spirit to move in our hearing and in our reading. It's also a very ancient way to read. It's been used for about 1,500 years, started in the 6th century by St. Benedict, and it's developed in various ways since then. And it's sometimes described as a practice of chewing on Scripture, allowing God to speak directly into our lives through the text in the way that we hear and respond to it. So here's how we will do this morning. We are going to read the same Scripture passage from Mark 3 times, and we'll focus on something different each time that we read it. So you can turn to the sermon notes section of your bulletin, and it kind of gives you a basic outline of the way that we'll be moving through this. So we'll read the passage slowly, and the first time you're invited to simply listen to one word or phrase that sticks out to you from the text. For the second time, you'll reflect on how the word might speak to you, might connect to your life. And the third time, we'll be asking how God might be inviting us to respond. And I'll remind you what you're listening for as we go through. So as we read, you can close your eyes to help yourself kind of imagine the scene, or you can follow along with the Scripture on the screen or in your Bible if you're more of a visual person. But however you choose to engage, pay close attention to how God might be using these words from Scripture to speak into your life. So for the first reading, again, simply listen and pay attention to one word or one phrase that jumps out at you. And at this point, don't reflect too much on why that might be, but just notice what stands out to you. And there might be two words or phrases, and that's okay too. You can use the space in the bulletin to write it down if that would be helpful for you. So get in a comfortable position, maybe take a deep breath, and prepare to listen to God's word from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. This is an account from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them, too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So take a few moments to think about the word or the phrase that stood out to you. And when we do this practice in a group, sometimes the words that stand out to people are similar, sometimes they're completely different. So we'll take just a few moments, and if you would like to speak your word or phrase out loud in this space, you are welcome to do that, or you can just silently reflect on it. So we'll take a few moments, and if you feel led to do so, you're invited to speak your word or phrase out loud now during this time. For the second reading, you're invited to reflect on how God is speaking into your life. How might this passage, particularly the word or the phrase that stuck out to you, relate to your life right now? What might God be communicating with you through this passage? This could be an idea or a thought, could be an image. We'll listen as David reads the passage a second time aloud.
Again from Mark. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning: "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, Go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him.
We'll just take a few moments to reflect silently and write some thoughts down or express the image that came to you. For the third reading, you're invited to think about how you might respond to what God has communicated with you. How might God be asking you to take a next step, even this week? What sort of action might God be calling you to? So we'll listen and reflect now as Heather reads the text for a third time.
After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him.
So as we think about what God might be asking us to do in response, it's important to communicate that with God in prayer. So with your small slip of paper that you got in your bulletin, you're encouraged to write down a short prayer to God. It can just be a sentence if you want. We'll take a few minutes to do this. David's going to play some music. And if you wish during this time, as kind of a way to actively respond, you can come and bring your little slip of paper up to the communion table as a way to offer that prayer to God. There's no need to put your name on it, but just as an active way to respond during this time. And hopefully this can be a tool that you can bring back to your own reading of Scripture at home or with small groups of people. And thank you for doing this experiment with me this morning. So we'll take some time now, and you can come up to the front. Simply place your piece of paper on the communion table up front. And at the close of the service, if you want to just kind of linger up here and read some of the prayers of our community, you're welcome to do that as well. And after a few minutes, we'll end with a reading from Isaiah and then our closing song together. So let's offer our prayers to God now.
Hear the word of the Lord.